again, everybody, and welcome to If You Don't Like That. My guest is coming up in just a moment, but I want to tell you about Zoom 180. This revolutionary new flashlight is now available to you. Go to zoom180.com. Just look at the quick video as soon as you go to the webpage. It is awesome with a capital A. Order your Zoom 180 flashlight now. It is light. It is awesome. And when I mean it is light, I'm talking about just like a regular flashlight in your hand, but this is so much different. Zoom180.com. I talk a lot about how you need help when you're venturing in to a new thing, a new project, whether you're moving, whether you're changing jobs, whatever the case may be. And back in October of 2020, when I started my podcast, there was an individual that was great to me, and he's a podcaster, Jeff Holden. And Jeff is awesome and has been awesome to me. He taught me the ropes. He edited my shows for a couple of months. Whenever I had a technical issue, he was right there. He was always helping me, always lending a hand. And I used to go down to his studio when I was in Sacramento and visit with him. And I had the utmost respect for Jeff. And again, he taught me a lot. I didn't know how to distribute my podcast. I didn't know anything about podcasting. Again, I knew nothing. And he said, don't worry, I'll walk you through it. It's really easy. And once you get the hang of it, you're going to go, wow, I can't believe how simple this is. And he was absolutely correct. And we still stay in touch. I had the utmost respect for Jeff. And over a year ago, he almost lost his life. And Jeff now has a podcast that started a week ago called Imperfect Heart. So before we bring on Jeff, I want you to listen to the trailer, give you a little bit of an education of what he has gone through and what he is doing now here in 2023.
In late July 2021, I was arguably in the best condition of my adult life, having trained all summer for a grueling cycling event at the end of the month. I was fired up. I felt great, and I couldn't wait to ride. When the day came, unfortunately, or possibly fortunately, as you'll hear, the ride had to be canceled due to an explosive fire that erupted the day prior. Little did I know that fire may have saved my life. The next few weeks began to unfold into a story that would certainly change my life forever.
Today's route, it's a little bit different than what we normally do, going up some roads that we typically bypass.
Hi, I'm Jeff Holden, and I'm excited to continue my story. So, with the cancellation of the Death Ride, yeah, that's what it's called, in July of 2021, I figured I was going to keep the fitness level up and just ride out more with the group, get a little more competitive. I mean, when you're 65 years old, every opportunity to beat somebody with less gray hair is a point of pride and, well, bravado. But something happened on my next group ride, and it happened several more times before I was smart enough to get to the doctor to check it out. Like you, I'm sure we don't want to admit something might be wrong, and we just work through whatever it is until we can't. I had developed a searing pain in the center of my chest that would occur right when I was starting out for a ride. Initially, it was only a couple of minutes long, and it didn't reflect on any of my monitors as anything odd. It was just very, very uncomfortable. Surely nothing serious. But with each successive ride, that pain lasted longer, and it seemed more severe. And of course, I would ride through it with pride.
If I didn't know any better, I might think it was something with my heart, but I'm in such good shape. It can't be.
Finally, you know, it occurred to me, this is something I need to get looked at. I mean, you really shouldn't be anticipating how long you're going to have to deal with it until you can get in with the group again. On Monday, August 23rd, I went to my primary care physician and I had some x-rays done. Had an EKG taken, set an appointment for the cardiologist, and that was on Friday, the 27th, same week. Unfortunately, I never kept that meeting on Friday as I had a myocardial infarction, a heart attack. Yes, a heart attack on Thursday morning. That incident set off a series of tests, return hospital visits, specialists, various drug therapies, cardiac rehab, and finally, several other life-threatening heart issues that all made no sense, nor were they getting accurately diagnosed to the point of remedy. Sound familiar to you? I would eventually get diagnosed with severe vasospasms, a myocardial bridge, and a blocked left anterior descending, or LAD, artery as the culprits of my symptoms. What transpired and where I am today is a story this podcast, Imperfect Heart, will tell. It will also tell stories from the experience of cardiologists. It will tell stories of medical professionals familiar with myocardial bridges talking about the symptoms these bridges can create. We'll have stories from other professionals familiar with those suffering from myocardial bridges and the treatments they've seen with successful outcomes, not only physically, but mentally as well. And we'll have stories from you. Real stories of the challenges and symptoms your myocardial bridge has created. This is not a podcast meant to discourage, but to encourage. My intent in sharing these experiences is to give everyone with this condition hope. Hope. Knowing there are others like you that have similar situations. Hope. Knowing others who have benefited from treatment and are sharing their journey. Hope. Knowing that more and more physicians are recognizing myocardial bridge symptoms as something more than just stress or anxiety, right? I mean, gaslighting anyone? Is it possible that many sudden cardiac deaths could be caused by undiagnosed myocardial bridges? More and more is known each and every day. More and more surgeons are practicing the process of unroofing a myocardial bridge. More and more of us, those with bridges, are being relieved of some, if not all, of our symptoms of the bridge. Catching the culprit of heart conditions early is critical, and having an audio forum to share, to enlighten, and educate, as well as inform and even entertain, will make a difference. I look forward to helping get these stories told and changing, maybe even saving lives in the process. Join me on Thursday, January 19th, as I speak with my first encounter in the process, my first cardiologist in the process of diagnosis, Dr. Rishi Menon.
We thought this is likely going to be typical blood clot inside a coronary causing an interruption in blood supply to the heart muscle, leading you to have heart muscle damage that showed up on a blood test. And we were going to do the standard, we did do the standard test, angiogram, cardiac cath. So what we were anticipating was that blood clot that we were talking about, or some obvious or demonstrable narrowing of the coronary. Again, typically that's with, in the acute setting, a blood clot or cholesterol. But we didn't see any of that. You had very normal looking coronaries on this test. There was some slight variation on there, but nothing that we thought would explain your symptoms at that time.
Thanks for listening. For more information about our program or to reach me directly, visit the website, myimperfectheart.com. If you like what you heard today, please give a positive review, thumbs up, high five, hey, you know, whatever your app likes. And be sure to share it with everyone important to you so they understand what it is you're dealing with. Please subscribe as well. Welcome each day with gratitude and positivity. Imperfect Heart is a production of Hear Me Now Studio.
It is now a pleasure to welcome Jeff to the podcast. And Jeff, it's so great that you and I are able to connect. And we just listened to the trailer. And I think a lot of people would want to know, first and foremost, how's your health now?
Well, Grant, miraculously, and for a variety of reasons, it's spectacular. I would say that I'm damn near as good as I was prior to any of the issues.
Jeff, what's the biggest thing, the most important thing you've learned from this entire episode in your life?
Well, Grant, there were a couple, but I will say the very first thing is when something feels wrong, it probably is, and get it addressed quickly. Because in my case, I was fortunate, but it took me five times of that sensation to realize that it might be my heart.
So, Jeff, tell me about Imperfect Heart. Tell me about why you decided to do this podcast and what it's all going to entail. We know the first episode dropped on Thursday.
Grant, it took me about a year to figure this out. January 4th, a year ago, is when I had the surgery. And I knew when I came out of there that something needed to change, that I needed to do something a little bit differently, because there was a reason I was given the second chance. And I couldn't stop thinking about how I was going to do something about it. Well, we're a podcast production company. Why don't I do a podcast to share my story to help others understand what may be going on with them? And that's really the genesis of Imperfect Heart, is to be able to tell the stories and the process that I went through so that others can experience some of the steps that maybe they haven't been able to get to and have a better diagnosis. The symptom, this condition, since it's a congenital defect, and not everybody knows they even have it if they do, and they may be experiencing some of those symptoms. If they hear or have shared with somebody and somebody hears the podcast and says, hey, there's this guy who's kind of talking about something that sounds like you, we may be able to help an awful lot of people.
Is there any way to diagnose this ailment before you have symptoms?
You would actually have to go to a cardiologist and have them start looking through a variety of resources. They could do a cardiac MRI to identify it, but it's a really expensive process. I'm sure nobody would say, yeah, come on in, we'll just take a look.
Jeff, what was your rock bottom moment?
When I realized that I may not be able to do anything that I really enjoy doing again, or die. That was, the ultimate. But I will tell you, Grant, one of the things, I had such confidence in the people around me. I really didn't have that sensation that I'm going to die from this. I just had so much confidence in the people that we were working with that we would find a solution and we would deal with it. But the outcome may not be what I'd like.
This was a shock to you, as you said during the trailer. You were extremely fit for your age. You were all about your regiment, your exercise, your cycling. I mean, you were big time. You thought that at your age, you were ahead of the game and you were in the top percentile of people in your age group and your activity. So as you said in your trailer, this just was why? Can this really be happening to me? Is that part of the emotions that you go through at the beginning?
Oh, absolutely. You train and you work out, and I've tried to, be healthy most of my life. So you expect that all that is going to manifest itself in good health until you pass. And to have something like this happen, you just start to question everything. It's like, wow, did I do something wrong? What was I doing? Did I try to train too hard? Was it something I caused? And then the second part of that is you start to accept the reality of what it is. And as opposed to something happening to you, you start to say, okay, this happened for me. How do I figure out what this means? What's supposed to happen here? Because it's happening the way it was meant to happen, just not the way I expected or would have thought it would happen.
All right. Imperfect Heart. Tell me about the website, the podcast, and this entire, I don't want to call it a project, but the work that you're doing here, because, it's pretty broad. You got the website, you've got the podcast. So let's talk more about that.
The podcast is going to be almost a step-by-step tutorial so people can hear the process I went through, from the first cardiologist to then getting shipped down to Stanford to the testing to identify what it was that I had so they can confirm it. And then the next steps of surgery and post-surgery. So that's the direction that we're going to go with this. And we may weave in, depending on the ability to get the people from Stanford in at the appropriate times, stories from others who are in similar situations. I'll put a note out there for anybody that's got a heart condition similar to this. There's a private Facebook group called Myocardial Bridge Support Group. And believe it or not, there's 1,800 people in that group right now worldwide. And the symptom obviously isn't just relegated to the United States. So we're communicating back and forth, or I'm communicating back and forth with people from Pakistan, from people from France, with people from India. It's just amazing as they're trying to get their situation resolved in some way, shape, or form. So that's the essence of the podcast. It's really meant to tell the stories in tandem with the people who are actually performing the medical care for this condition. And the website, in its infancy right now, but what it will become is an opportunity to go and get research and information, blog posts, conditions for the you know, the heart itself, just sharing what we can find and what we know from these myocardial bridges, which in most opinions are very, very underdiagnosed, and in many cases could be the cause of what looks like just sudden cardiac death. Well, he died. He had a blockage. The blockage may have been caused by a bridge, but nobody's looking for that because it looks like it was just a, you know, a coronary artery, or, you know, widowmaker, as they call it, was blocked. And in our cases, people with a myocardial bridge, most often that artery that is the widowmaker has some occlusion as it enters the heart. And for a variety of reasons that I'll not get into technically here, but they will be in the podcast to talk about some of that stuff.
Did surgery fix your problem 100%, or is this something you have to stay on top of and continue to monitor?
It's a great question. In my opinion, and for me, for myself, I would say yes. And everybody's very different, and I want to make sure that that's extremely clear. So in my case, without getting, again, too technical in terms of what happened to me, I would say that I'm back to where I was prior to the symptoms starting. However, I can't be as aggressive as I was. They said, just keep an eye on everything. Don't go stupid. Keep your heart level, you know, at X. And I don't want to find out the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually been cleared to do that ride that I mentioned in the trailer and actually in the first podcast. I'm cleared to do the death ride.
Wow.
So that's going to be 9 hours of riding and climbing. And
9 hours.
You know, I've already started training for it.
Wow.
Correct.
Maybe I'll see you in the Tour de France coming up.
You know what's pretty interesting?
Right.
There's a guy in the group who is a Tour de France rider. He's in his 40s now.
Wow.
And he says, I always had this weird sensation and it would bother me, but it never got that bad until I got older. And if I can, so I think this is awesome. There's a guy from the tour in here.
Well, Jeff, to me, if you can withstand these exciting Kings games and you're not having any issues with your heart, I think you're good to go.
Boy, I'll tell you, the Lakers game the other day was one of them, and I was at the other game in Sacramento. It was like, you've got to be kidding. We're going to lose to the Lakers? No.
Well, as I said at the beginning of this show, I'm grateful for everything that you taught me in this business, and you kind of, you know, held my hand at the beginning stages and showed me the ropes and let me now be a one-man band. So I'm really grateful, and I'm so happy that you have overcome this. But you know what I'm really happy? I'm happy that you have now taken what you've learned and you're passing it on to others, because you know what, Jeff? Somebody may listen to your podcast and it may save their life. And if you can help out one person, if you can save one person's life, if you can educate those that are really not aware of this condition and these bridges, then I pat you on the back. Job well done, my friend.
Thank you so much, Grant. And I want to applaud you, not only for being an incredibly talented student, but for what you've done. I mean, you've got millions of plays on the podcast in less than, 3 years now?
Yep.
And that's an incredible accomplishment. And you are all over it. You're doing everything you need to do. And you've got so many abilities to listen to not only your show, or if you don't like that in the morning, the short stuff, but everything that you're doing is exactly what the successful podcasters do. And I am so proud of you to see it work so well for you.
Let's now get to our Crowd Ultra Q&A. Just go to crowdultra.com and maybe I'll answer your question on my next podcast. Kyle wants to know, do you agree with Steve Kerr that the NBA should shorten their season. Well, if coaches like Steve Kerr and others are going to rest their players and screw over the fans like Steve Kerr has done for the past couple of years, twice this year in New Orleans and in Cleveland last week, then yeah, they should shorten the season because coaches like Steve Kerr are cheating the game. Aaron wants to know, is DeMarco Ryans the best defensive coordinator in the NFL? No, he's got the best defensive players in the NFL, but he is very good, obviously. I mean, if you don't have good coaching and you have really good players, you're probably only going to reach a certain level of excellence. So I think that he is extremely well respected by all in the NFL, but let's not kid anyone. He's got tremendous players to work with. Bryce asked, do you like how Kyle Shanahan calls plays? Bryce, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, his track record is pretty damn good. So I would say, yes, I do. I think he's excellent. Martin asks, should the Chiefs fans be worried about Mahomes' injury? They sure as hell should. He's got a high ankle sprain. They should be very worried about it. No question. I think they're going to have a tough time beating Cincinnati on Sunday, but that's why they play the game. Dave wants to know, is Rui Hachimura a good fit for the Lakers? I think he is, Dave. I think he's going to help them. You know, I don't think he's going to help them win 50 games or anything, but yeah, I do think it is a good fit. Rich wants to know, would I be willing to trade a first-round pick for Sean Payton like NFL Network is reporting? If it's near the bottom of the first round, yes. If it's near the top of the first round, no, I would not. Alex wants to know, did I expect more out of the Giants? I did. I didn't expect them to win. I didn't think they would win. I knew it would be a tough matchup. I thought they would be more competitive. Obviously, they weren't. So, yes, I did expect more. Greg wants to know, which arena or stadium you've been to had the best and worst parking situation and the best and worst customer service? I haven't been to the stadium in Foxborough, but every single person I know tells me that is the worst situation getting to and from the stadium of anywhere in the country. Me personally, I would say at the old Candlestick Park, I would say that's the worst situation getting out of the stick after a packed event. So I would put that number one on my list. You know, best and worst customer service is hard for me to say, Greg. It really is, because most of the time I was working at these events, and when I do go to games, I don't get too caught up in that. I'm not one that goes to the club level. I'm not on the concourse a lot. I go to watch the game. So the customer service doesn't really affect me because I'm not really utilizing the amenities in a lot of these stadiums and arenas. But it's an excellent question. Just go to crowdultra.com and maybe I'll answer your question on my next podcast.
It's time for Rant.
And today's rant is brought to you by New Works Plumbing of Sacramento. Locally owned for over 20 years, New Works has a fix for you. For your plumbing needs and repairs, just go to newworksplumbing.com, N-E-W-W-R-X-Plumbing.com. And remember, they've got a fix for you. That's newworksplumbing.com, N-E-W-W-R-X-Plumbing.com. Well, there's only one game left in the respective conferences, and I don't know about you, but that is good news because that means that Tony Romo only has one more game left this year for CBS. I don't know how people listen to Tony Romo. I think he absolutely diminishes the quality and the entertainment value of the game. I think he's that bad. I think he's been horrible for Jim Nance. I think Nance has gone from a top-flight NFL announcer to a so-so announcer because, trust me, I've been in that situation before. As a play-by-play announcer, it is very difficult to do your job to the highest of expectations and your abilities, all right? Tony Romo just needs to shut the hell up once in a while. He needs to stop with his corny-ass nonsense. And again, for me personally, I mean, I really mean this. I muted half the game last weekend. I muted half the game between Cincinnati and Buffalo. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't deal with it. I just could not deal with it. It's awful. I mean, seriously. What's the problem with this guy? Shut the hell up once in a while, would you please? And that's my rant for today. Hey, my thanks to Jeff Holden. Really appreciate him. So happy that he is healthy again. And I hope that his podcast helps out others. And who knows, maybe save a life. So long, everybody. Have yourself a great day. And thank you so much for listening to If You Don't Like That with Grant Napier. Bye-bye.